if you were asked to make a list, suppose somebody said, you know, you've read through the Bible, you know things that Jesus taught. So if somebody asked you, what is it that Jesus talked about the most? What would you put on that list? What would you put on the list of things that you think Jesus really highlighted as he was living on this earth? What did he talk about the most? You say, well, he talked a lot about God, and he did. He talked a lot about faith. He talked a lot about relationships that people have with each other. He talked a lot about the church, the kingdom. He talked a lot about heaven. There are a number of things that we could say that Jesus talked about a lot. Perhaps one of his favorite topics was the topic of love. Jesus talked a lot about love, didn't he? Talked about our responsibility to love God, our responsibility to love him. He talked about how much God loves us and how much Jesus loves us. He talked about our responsibility to love other people. If you were to make a list of things that Jesus talked about a lot, would you talk about how much he loved and how much he taught us to love? Was there anyone in the history of this world, somebody who ever loved more than Jesus did? He's the most loving person that ever lived on this earth. And at the same time, there were other topics that Jesus emphasized. At the same time when Jesus is emphasizing love, he was emphasizing the fact that we need to be mindful of making the right choices. And he told us what would happen if we didn't make the right choices. He talked about the seriousness of sinful choices and actions that we would take, and how in John chapter 8 and verse 34 we could become a slave. We could become enslaved to those actions. He talked to us about the eternal consequences of our sin. Talked to us about the fact in John chapter 8 and verse 24 that if you continue in sin, then you're going to die in your sin. Jesus talked a lot about divine justice. He said that we would receive in our bodies, we would be rewarded according to the things that we had done. He spent a lot of time talking about the day of judgment, telling us that that day was coming, that he would be the judge, that his word would be the standard by which we would be judged. He talked a lot about the fact that we need to be ready for the day of judgment. Read Matthew chapter 24, those last several verses, starting in verse 36. He talked a lot about in chapter 25 of the book of Matthew what would happen if we're not ready. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? How 5 of them were not ready? Remember the parable of the talents? How the one talent man was not ready? What would you list as something that Jesus talked about a lot? There's something that I want us to talk about this morning that Jesus taught about more than anyone else did. Now, I'm not saying that he talked about some of these on the board more than anyone else. And I'm not saying that the topic that we're looking at this morning is what he talked about more than anything else. That's not what we're saying. But there's something that the loving Jesus talked about more than anybody else did in the Bible. You know what it is? Would you believe that Jesus, our loving Savior, talked about hell? And that Jesus talked about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. Some people that don't like that. They don't like to even think about Jesus talking about hell. There's some people that think about the loving Jesus and they cannot reconcile in their mind how a loving Jesus could even talk about hell, let alone how a loving Jesus could send anyone to hell. They cannot reconcile that in their minds, and so there are a number of individuals who have come up with a solution. And there's various solutions. Some have come up with a solution that says, no, there's not really a hell anywhere, that it doesn't exist. There are others who say, well, no, the Bible talks about hell. There is a hell, but nobody is going to go there. And then there are others that say, no, there really is a hell. The Bible says so. People are going to go there. The Bible says that too. But when they get there, they're not going to be there very long. They're just going to be there for a short period of time and annihilated and just go out of existence. You see, when people look at what Jesus says about hell, they're not ready to accept what Jesus taught about hell. What's interesting is they are ready to accept everything he said about heaven. Even though going to heaven, what did I do to deserve that? Not a thing. Was that fair for me who's lived in a sinful life against our Lord? No. They're ready to accept everything Jesus says about heaven. But to think about what Jesus said about hell is just something that they're not ready to do. But this is something. If you measure it out and look at how much Jesus talked about this, is something that needs our attention. Let me ask you a few questions as we get into this study. A few questions that you might ask yourself if you're one who's thinking, I don't know that, you know, Jesus is going to send, the loving Jesus is going to send people to hell. I'm just not sure about that. I don't really know if there is a hell. Or maybe some questions you could ask others who have those kind of questions. If there is no hell, why did Jesus come? There's no hell. Why did Jesus come? The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. But if there's no hell, why does it say that? The Bible says that Jesus came to give himself as a ransom for many. But why did he do that if there's no hell? The Bible says that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. That's what was announced before his birth. But why did he do that if there is no hell? The Bible says that Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins, but why would he do that if there is no hell? The Bible says that Jesus shed his blood. All of these verses is what Jesus said about it. The Bible says that Jesus was going to shed his blood and did shed his blood for the remission of our sins. But why would he do that if there is no hell? When you begin to look at the evidence that the Scripture presents us with, the very fact that Jesus died for our sins, the very fact that he suffered the penalty that was due us for our sins, the very fact that Jesus came and taught us about hell is evidence enough to say it exists and to warn us. The fact that he came to warn us not to go there. He did it to shake us up. He did it to wake us up. He did it to help us to come to a realization that our sin has consequences. The consequences of our sin will have an eternal consequence if we don't do anything about it. And yet, if there is no hell, Jesus coming to the earth is senseless. If there is no hell, Jesus going into the cross is senseless. If there is no hell, Jesus shedding his blood is senseless. But there is a hell. And if we want to learn about it, there's someone who will teach us. The one who talked about it more than anybody else in the Bible is ready to teach us about it. And so for just a few minutes, I want to allow our loving Savior Jesus to teach us about hell. Not to share with you any verses from Paul or Peter or James or Jude. They talked about hell too. But to allow Jesus, the one who loved us so much that he died on the cross for us, to allow him to tell us about this subject. You see, Jesus tells us that hell is a real place. It's not fiction. It's not made up. It's not figurative. It's not something that he just said in order to rattle people, but it's just not a literal place. The Bible says, Jesus says, that hell is a real place. The Greek word for hell is the word Gehenna, which may not be an all-important word for us to know. And it's interesting to go back and look at the etymology and where that word came from, and we won't do that in this lesson this morning. But this Greek word that's used in our New Testament, by which we get the English word hell, is found 12 times in your New Testament. From Matthew to Revelation, This word is found 12 times. Would you believe that Jesus used that word 11 out of the 12 times that you read about hell? What does that say? Jesus taught us that hell is a real place. And he warned us to fear God in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Fear God, fear him who is able to kill both, to destroy both body and soul. Where? In Gehenna, in hell. And so as we begin this look at what Jesus says about hell, we need to understand he says it's a real place. But he didn't just use the word hell to talk about it. Jesus used a lot of words. He used a lot of descriptions to tell us about this place. Jesus said that hell is a place of condemnation. I want you to think about that word. Jesus said it is a place where people who have been condemned go. Or to use the King James word, hell is the place where people who have been damned by God go. Those who stand before God and are judged. Those who stand before the judgment seat of Christ and are sentenced to an eternal condemnation, the Bible says, this is where they go, to a place of condemnation. It's interesting to look up that word condemnation as Jesus uses it. And you'll find that Jesus teaches that both those who do evil things and those who speak evil things will be condemned. The word condemnation is found in both of those passages. What does that include? That includes everything. That includes what I do, and it includes what I say. Everything about me and my life is something that's going to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. You also know that that word is in Mark 16, 16. Here's Jesus talking. Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But what if I don't do that? He who does not believe will be condemned. Jesus is teaching us about hell. Says it's a real place. Says it's a place of condemnation. Jesus says that hell is a place of punishment. It's a place of punishment. You know, the way some people joke about hell today, I wouldn't think that. The way some people joke about, you know, I'm going to hell, you going to hell too. Well, when you get there, save me a spot. Well, just wait till we get to hell. We're going to party it up. The way people joke about hell today, you wouldn't know that the Bible says that, no, Jesus says it's a place of punishment. The passage that was read in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46 says, these shall go away into everlasting partying, right? Into everlasting bliss and joy, and they're just going to be living it up. No. It says they're going into everlasting punishment. And the word punishment corresponds to what? Something that I did. Something that I said. The word punishment indicates that there is a correspondence between what is happening in all of eternity and the way that I was living here on earth. It is a result of the actions that I have taken here. But notice also that the word punishment is a word that indicates a consciousness. Those who would indicate that or teach that hell is a place where people that are there are eventually annihilated. They go out of existence. They're not conscious. Well, how are they being punished? They don't exist anymore. Jesus says that this is a punishment, a punishing that will go on forever and ever. Does this sound like a place that you even want to visit? Does this sound like a place that maybe if I could just go and just get a bird's eye view, if I could just... No, I don't want to go there for 1 second. Jesus says it's a real place of condemnation, of punishment, that it's a place of utter loss. You might get your Bible out and turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Because sometimes people will go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, the verse we referenced just a moment ago, and they will misuse this verse. It's where Jesus says, don't fear him who can kill only the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And they'll say, there it is. Jesus said that those who go to hell are going to be destroyed. And the way that they define that word is they're going to be annihilated. They're going to go out of existence. Is that what that word means? If we were just looking at this word destroyed and say, Jesus says, fear him who will destroy both body and soul in hell. Or Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, where Jesus talked about wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Same word. Well, are those who are going there going to be ultimately and eternally destroyed in the sense of annihilation and go out of existence? No, that's not this word. How do we know that? Well, if we look at the verse in its context, we would know it. But take this same word and look at how it's used in other verses by Jesus in the New Testament. In Matthew, well, in Luke chapter 15, as well as in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, it's used to talk about a lost sheep. Well, was that sheep annihilated? Was that sheep out of existence? No, the sheep existed. The sheep was just lost. Same word. It's used for those wineskins that burst. The same word was used there. The same word was used by the disciples when they went to wake Jesus up in the back of the boat, and they said, do you not care that we are perishing in this storm? Had they been annihilated? Had they ceased to exist? No. Well, that's the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 10. It's the same word used in Luke chapter 15 about the lost son, when he realized that he was perishing with hunger. Both the word lost and the idea of perishing with hunger is the same. Have you ever felt like you were perishing with hunger? You're like, yep, right now. I'm hungry. Did you ever feel, I'm just going to pass out, I'm so hungry. Does that mean you're going to be annihilated? Does that mean you're just going to no longer have an existence? No, you're just starving to death. It's the same word that's used back in Matthew chapter 10. The word that's used means that we are at an utter loss. That sheep was lost utterly. The son lost utterly. When those go to hell, they will suffer an utter loss. There will be no return from this place. Jesus talked about hell, and this is what we think about maybe most often, as being a place of fire. When you think about hell, is that one of the first words that comes to mind? Is this idea of fire? Jesus used that word 16 times. When he didn't just use the word hell to talk about hell. He used the word fire 16 times to talk about what hell was going to be like. He talked about hell as being hell fire sometimes. He talked about it being a furnace of fire. Other places in the New Testament talked about it being a lake of fire. Jesus talked about it as a furnace of fire. He talked about it as an everlasting. That's not a temporary. He talked about it as an everlasting fire. In Mark chapter 9, here's a passage. You ought to read Mark chapter 9, verses 42 down through 48. You ought to read that and see how many times, how often Jesus talked about hell as a fire. And he talks about there as a fire that cannot be quenched. Does this sound like a pleasant place? Is Jesus, our loving Savior, painting a picture of a place that we might enjoy going? Or is he as you would do with your children? Because you love them, giving a clear warning and begging, please don't go there. He described it as a place of fire. Jesus described hell as a place of torment. You think about hell. Think about hell being a place of fire. You think about what you've read about it in the New Testament. And to be in a fire that you cannot get out of. To be in a furnace of fire forever and ever that you cannot leave. Truly would be an occasion of torment. Jesus said that those who are in hell, he used these words, that they are burning, not burnt, past tense, they are burning in fire. And while they are burning, it's more than seven times. How many verses are up here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 verses? 9 times Jesus said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's telling us exactly what's going to be happening in this sea of torment. He describes this place in Mark chapter 9, not only saying that there's an unquenchable fire, but says it's where, look at the word before worm. Jesus does not just say that the worm in hell never dies. The Jesus says, what's the word before worm? Their worm never dies. Jesus isn't talking about some random worm. He's talking about a personal issue that every person there has. Their worm never dies. I don't know about you. That's enough for me. In fact, that's more than enough. I've got the picture. And when we're talking about a worm that always has something to eat, we're not talking about going out of existence. We're not talking about annihilation. If we were annihilated, wouldn't the worm finally starve to death? No, this worm never dies because the worm always has something to prey upon in that place. Hell, Jesus, our loving Savior, says that hell is a place of torment. Jesus described hell for us and said that it is a place of separation and of everything that we've talked about to this point. That hell is a real place of condemnation, of punishment, of utter loss. It's a place of fire. It's a place of torment. Of everything that we have mentioned to this point, can I tell you something? In my opinion, this is the worst one of all. So how can you get worse than fire? How can you get worse than torment? Because those who go to hell, Jesus, not just the Bible, Jesus says are going to suffer separation. On the day of judgment, there will be certain ones. Jesus says this twice. On the day of judgment, Jesus is going to say to certain people, look at these three words, depart from me. Not just for a season. Not just for a time, and you can come back. Depart from me. Separation. When Jesus is talking about those who go to hell, it's interesting to see how many different expressions that he then uses to talk about those who are in hell. He says they will be cast into hell. Look at how many times Jesus uses that expression, cast into hell. One time he says they're going to be cast out into hell. And then he says they're going to be thrown into hell. What does this indicate to you? There is a separation that takes place. In Matthew 25 and verse 46, it says they will go away into everlasting punishment. It's a separation that takes place. Jesus says that those who live in sin here and do nothing about their sins, he says in John 8 and verse 24, they will die in their sins. The Bible uses the word die in a sense of talking about separation. God said to Adam, the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. He wasn't talking about physical death. He was talking about a separation between Adam and God when he sinned that day. In James 2 and verse 26, it says, the body without the spirit is dead. Because there's been a separation. What are our sins going to do to us for all of eternity? They are going to separate us from God. We will suffer an eternal death if we are unfortunate enough to be among those who go to hell. When Jesus talked about hell, he talked about those who would go there and that they would die not for somebody else's sins, not because of what somebody else had done, but because of what they themselves had done. When they were cast out, a number of times he said it'll be outer darkness. Why is it dark? Why is it dark in hell? 1 John 1 and verse 5, you know what it says? God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Do you know why it's dark in hell? Because it is as far away from God as it can be. It is not just darkness, it is outer darkness. Because they have been exiled from the presence of God. It's separation. But not just separation from God. Jesus says, our loving Savior says, that those who are righteous will be separated, set apart from the unrighteous. That there will be a separation that takes place. The wicked will be separated from among the just. When I think about hell, I don't think there's anything worse than this. For all of eternity, to be separated from God with nothing I can do about it. To be separated from Jesus. To be separated from every redeemed person of the earth. To be separated from my family members who were Christians. And I was not. To never be able to see them again. For all of eternity. Because they made a choice to follow Jesus, and I didn't. There's a man who called a preacher on a Saturday morning. He said, I need to meet you down at the building. I need to be baptized today. I said, well, what's been going on? What have you been thinking about? Why all of a sudden is this something that you want to do today? He'd been going to church for a long time. He had known for a long time what he needed to do. Just hadn't done it. He called the preacher that morning and said, I got to be baptized today. And here's what he said. Been laying in bed here this morning and thinking about this. I don't want to go into eternity someplace different than my family does. Realized that the moment of Jesus' return could be at any moment. Realized that his life was not right with the Lord, and realized that he may not have another opportunity, and realized that he might be separated from his wife and his children forever and ever. And that was more than he could take that morning. This is what a loving Savior is telling us about hell. Jesus says that hell is a place for the devil and his followers. You know Matthew 25 and verse 41. Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But it's not just the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 7 says it's for those who reject the authority of Jesus. Oh, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Jesus says to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They had rejected the authority of Jesus, although they claimed to be following him. Jesus said, you're not going to heaven because you've rejected my authority. Jesus says that hell is for those who just insist on doing it their way. Hell is a place for those who just persist on going down their path and are resistant to all of the evidence against it. People can talk to them about Jesus being the Son of God. People can talk to them about what the Bible says, but they say, oh, I don't want to do what the Bible says. Jesus says there's a place prepared for them. Jesus says that hell is a place for those who are unwilling to give up whatever it is that's keeping them from God. Can I ask what's keeping you today? What's keeping you from giving your life to the Lord? What's holding you back today? Jesus says those who don't give up whatever's holding them back, that there's a place prepared for them. Jesus said there's a place for those who say one thing and do another. There's a place for them. Jesus says there's a place for those, even those who are servants of God, but they don't serve the least of these, my brethren. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said there's a place for them. Jesus said that there is a place for those who are false teachers. Jesus said there is a place for those who do not believe that He's the Son of God and are not baptized for the remission of their sins. These are not just random verses selected, random thoughts selected. Each and every one of these is Jesus talking about the place of hell that is reserved for these categories of individuals. Can I ask you something? Just as nice as I know how to ask it. Are you on here anywhere? Are you on this list anywhere? Have you been resistant to what God wants you to do? Have you just been holding back? Are you one that maybe looks at your life and says, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but I don't really think you have to be baptized in order to have the forgiveness of your sins? Well, that's what Jesus taught. And when Jesus said, and he who doesn't do this is condemned, that needs to get our attention. Because as we have mentioned all throughout this, the last thing that I want us to see that Jesus said about hell is that it is an everlasting, eternal, forever place. It is not going to end. He describes it as an everlasting punishment, as an eternal condemnation. He describes the fire there as being everlasting, that it is an unquenchable fire. That word unquenchable, by the way, comes from a Greek word by which we get the word asbestos. What does that mean? Here's a fire that will not go out. It's unquenchable. It's unstoppable. It will go on forever and ever, a place where the worm dieth not. Our loving Savior came to this world. Why did He come to this world? He came to this world because He doesn't want a single one of us to spend a single second of existence in this place called hell. And for those who would live in some kind of a world in their minds, they say, oh, I don't believe there's a hell, or if there is one, nobody's going to go there, or if they're going to go there, they're not going to be there very long, are rejecting what Jesus said about it. Jesus loved us so much not to hide this from us. He loved us so much not to say, well, I just can't bring myself to tell them. I love them too much. I can't tell them about hell. No. He loved us so much that He came to this world to tell us about it. If there is no hell, Jesus is a fool for going to the cross. But He went to the cross because there is this place that He doesn't want us to spend one second in. And He's done everything within His power to keep you from going there. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why would He do that? That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus loved us so much that He became our sacrifice. He took our sin upon Him. He tasted death for everyone. He loved us so much that He gave us the plan, His plan, to keep us from this place. But His plan has conditions. Following His plan is conditional. Being saved from our sins and being saved from an eternity in hell, there are things that Jesus requires of us. He first requires that you face the inevitable consequences that will follow your rejection of Him. That you've got to face, where am I, if I deny God, what's that going to lead me to? If I deny Jesus, where is that going to lead me? If I don't submit my life to Him, where is that going to go? I need to face the inevitable. But child of God, Christian this morning, we also need to face the inevitable. That if I turn from following Him, if I leave that narrow path, there's a place that awaits me as well. I need to face these facts. And having faced these facts, I need to make a choice. I need to make up my mind. Am I going to just stay where I am? Am I just going to dig in my feet and say, I'm not going to budge? I don't care. Or am I going to make a decision this morning that says, I don't want to spend an eternity in hell? Am I going to make a decision this morning that says, I don't want to spend an eternity separated from my loving Savior Jesus? I don't want to spend an eternity in a place separated from my Christian family members. If there's something holding you back this morning, would you let go of it? If there's something keeping you from the Lord, would you just give up on it? Jesus loved you so much that He taught more than anybody else in the Bible about hell so that you wouldn't go there. Are you ready to give your life to Him today? In order to keep yourself out of hell, you've got to be in Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But here's the better part. The gift of God is eternal life, heaven. But where is it? You see the word in, I-N, in Romans 6, verse 23? Where is eternal life? In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Are you in Christ? Look at yourself this morning. Are you in Christ today? You are not in Christ today if you have not believed that Jesus is the Son of God. You're just not there. Jesus said, unless you believe I'm He, you're going to die in your sins. You are not in Christ today if you have not repented of your sins. Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to what? Perish. You're not in Christ if you haven't repented. You're not in Christ if you have not confessed your faith in Jesus. If we don't confess Him, we are essentially denying Him. And Jesus says, whoever denies Me before men, I'm going to deny him before My Father. And you're not in Christ if you have not been baptized into Christ. If you have not been baptized, I'm not asking, have you ever been baptized? The Bible says you need to be baptized into Christ. You need to be baptized at that very moment. What is your purpose? I'm being baptized in order that I might obtain the forgiveness of my sins. Have you ever been baptized for that reason? Jesus put it in this order. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus did not say, he who believes will be saved and then will be baptized. That's not Jesus' order. Have you ever been baptized in order to be saved? That's the order Jesus put it in. And so the question for you this morning is, what's keeping you from doing that? Are you in Christ? Are you abiding in Christ? Are you a faithful Christian that's bearing fruits and keeping His commandments? Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto Me, I am the way. It's only a step away. If you need to get your life right with Him to avoid this place, come right now.